Greetings in the name of the Lord. For some weeks, we have been studying from the Epistle to the Romans, written by Paul but inspired by the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize again that every book in the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, given from God, in other words. It's given through men. Men had to write it down, but it's God's Word. I also want to emphasize, and I've tried to emphasize this in every message that I've given from the book of Romans, we can only depend upon the Word of God. Some of you are following the teachings of men. In other words, what men through tradition, through history, have been teaching, but what is contrary to the Word of God, and you've been following these things. And you need to put aside the teachings of men. You need to go back to the Word of God itself. Only the Word of God is reliable. Even the greatest of the teachers of history are not as reliable as the Word of God itself. They were men, they were fallible, they could make many terrible mistakes. Only the Word of God itself can be trusted. So I would urge you to look to the Word of God. Now today, we're looking at Romans chapter 7, and I want to take the passage from verse 7 to 25, but I cannot take time to read all of that, and so I want to begin with verse 17. But the entire passage is verses 7 to 25 of Romans chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 7, beginning with verse 17. And now then, it is no more I that do it, but it is sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the heart or the flesh, I serve the law of sin. Now, we're asking the question today, there is a problem with the law when we're using it to obtain righteous living. Now, living in the Christian life we're speaking of. This man apparently is a Christian, but someone has advised him to go back to the law of Moses and to try and use the law of Moses, as many people are trying to do today, to live the Christian life. And this man has tried this. He's tried it with all his heart. He's yielded every effort to this task of finding a righteous life, righteous living, through the keeping of the law. And he's been entirely frustrated. In other words, the law of Moses has only led him deeper, because it reveals more and more and more the lacks and the sin in his life. So this man is completely frustrated. And so this man is a Christian who is desperate for victory over sin and is seeking to find it through self-effort by strictly following the law. And what he finds is, the more he depends upon the law to give him victory, the deeper he finds himself in the bondage and the despair of sin. And so this man has a very deep problem. And this problem he has tried to work out, but he has found that he simply cannot solve the problem whatsoever. Now you notice in this passage of Scripture, and I want to talk about these for a few minutes, he speaks of three different laws that are at work in his life. And if you take Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, you're going to find a fourth law. But we'll talk about this later. But these three laws are at work in his life as he struggles with the problem of sin and trying to find victory over it. First of all, is the law of his mind. Now, this has been a confusing subject for many people, but it seems to refer to his deep heart desire to have victory over sin and to live for the Lord. You know, when I trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior, God puts that desire into my heart. In other words, it may be a desire I've never had before in the same way. I may have aspired after it. I may sometimes have sought after it. But I've never really deeply felt this desire in my life. But now that this man is a Christian, God has put into his heart a deep, deep desire to have victory over sin. And this victory over sin lead him, of course, to live for the Lord. And that's the desire of every Christian. It ought to be the desire of every Christian. The problem is that this man has been frustrated. He has never found this victory in his life. As far as Romans 7 is concerned, he's never found this victory in his life. He's been completely frustrated and defeated because the more he tries and the more he desires after this, the less of it he finds. In other words, victory eludes him. It is far from him. And he finds that living for the Lord, he has been defeated in this. And so he is completely frustrated. Now, the second law is the law of sin and death. This has to do with the old sinful nature which is still in him. Now, there are those who teach that when we trust Christ as our Savior, the sinful nature is eradicated. Oh, how I wish it were. And you would wish the same thing. We would wish that there was no more desire in us at all after sin. That from our minds, from our hearts, from our bodies, the old sinful nature was completely eradicated. Unfortunately, this is not true. Now, it is true that we have the new nature in us. We have been born again by the Spirit of God. We have the new nature in us. But we also still have the old sinful desires. And these are working through our minds, through our lips, through our desires, through our ambitions, through our intentions, through everything about us. Our attitudes, our feelings, everything reflect the old nature tempting us constantly to sin. So this law of sin and death, I believe, very clearly is taught, has to do with the old sinful nature which is still in him. And this old sinful nature can defeat us unless we're using God's means of getting victory. This man has not found God's means. He thought it could be, as I have pointed out, he thought it could be through keeping the law of Moses. In other words, if I memorize these hundreds and hundreds of regulations, if I regulate my eating habits, if I regulate every tiny little facet of my life, then I'm going to have victory over sin. How wonderful that would be. Unfortunately, that was not God's way. That's what many people are seeking to do today. But it's not God's way in finding victory over sin. And so this law of sin and death was defeating him at every turn. And then the third law was the law of God itself. Now this is the law of Moses, and this is what he set his heart on. In other words, he should have, in grace, departed from the law of Moses and depended upon the Spirit of God to bring him the victory, but instead, he's gone back to the law of Moses again, the Old Testament law, which never was for the Gentiles. I want to explain this just very quickly for you. If you study the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, this question arose, are the Gentiles under the law of Moses? The answer, of course, was no. Peter said that the law of Moses had been a burden on them which no one could bear. And so the law of Moses was not for the Gentiles at all. There were only several little regulations they were to follow, and the reason for them following this is very clearly taught because they were not to offend the Jews. In other words, if they were to offend the Jews, they would lose their testimony to these Jews. And so this law of God is what this man is strictly trying to follow. He's a Gentile, apparently. It doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile. Neither of them are under the law of Moses anymore. But this law of Moses, he is strictly trying to follow, believing that it will help him have victory over sin, or that it will directly bring victory over sin. And so this man is very distressed. He is completely frustrated by his failure to find any victory. Now, I want to note very clearly, the law of Moses is not sinful. Some people might misinterpret this passage. This passage and other passages clearly teach the law of Moses is holy and is to be respected. However, it never has been the way of salvation or the way of righteousness. Romans clearly teaches, we find this in chapter 3, we find this again in this passage, Romans very clearly teaches that the purpose of the law never was to bring righteousness. The purpose of the law was to show us our sinfulness before God, how inadequate we are in ourselves. So even the Old Testament Jewish person in the nation of Israel had to come to God through sacrifices for his sins, looking for the coming Messiah, who someday would be God's final and complete and adequate sacrifice for sin. And so this purpose of the law was very, very important for the Old Testament Jewish person to understand and for the New Testament purpose as well. In other words, the law merely teaches how we are unable to keep the commandments of God. Even though Paul thought he was blameless, he was not. And in the eyes of God, either in his thought life or in his words or in some way, Paul was still a hopeless lost sinner. Now, there is a fourth law taught, and we'll not get into this at all today, but this is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When we come into chapter 8, especially verses 1 and 2, and then most of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we're going to be following this law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the coming of the Holy Spirit into the life of the believer. So let me leave that, and let me just conclude in a few moments this passage we've been studying. So in our hearts, when we are Christians, we really want to follow the Lord. But what he's emphasizing is that it's not enough to desire to live righteously. We must always find God's means of righteousness. In other words, not our own way, not some way that man might teach us, but we must find God's means of righteousness. So it's not wrong to desire it. This man desires it, and we commend him for that. But the important thing is that he is completely defeated and frustrated because he has not found God's way of righteousness and righteous living. In other words, he has found salvation, he believes. And it seems to be that this is true. In the 7th chapter, he has found salvation. But as far as living the Christian life is concerned, this man is defeated. And then, of course, we also see that Satan is a very, very powerful enemy. Perhaps we will be discussing this again. But Satan is a powerful enemy. He is everywhere presented as a powerful enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, he's presented like this. And he is more powerful than we are in our fleshly existence. In other words, as a Christian, if I, through the flesh, am trying to get victory, through self-effort, am trying to get victory, I surely am going to be defeated. Because we are not powerful enough to withstand Satan in this human life. Satan is such a powerful enemy, and we are not powerful enough to withstand him. And so as we look at this thing, the law of sin and death, this old nature is still going to hurt us and affect us and be a temptation to us. It's going to every day bring up fresh temptations to us. Again, either through the mind or through our words, our feelings, our attitudes, our ambitions, whatever, it's going to bring temptations to us. And we will be defeated if we are not finding God's means. And so, to emphasize this, it is not at all through following the law of Moses that we find righteous living. That is what many are teaching, but they themselves are going to have to admit defeat in so many areas of their lives. Even though they teach this so strongly, if you follow the law of Moses, you can surely find righteous living. But this, of course, is not true. And so, as we come to this 8th chapter in the next lesson, we're going to see that it's only through God's means that we can find righteous living. Now, my prayer for you is this. First of all, put aside the teachings of man. Put aside every book, every teaching you have ever had. If in your Bible, for instance, they'll have a passage of Scripture and then they'll have notes on the side that seem to contradict the passage of Scripture, put aside those notes. In other words, just follow the Word of God itself and come to God, first of all, for salvation according to God's means, and that is the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through trusting Him as your Savior from sin. And then in the Christian life, put aside the teachings of men. Men will have various ideas about gaining victory, but it's only God's Word that truly teaches us God's means of victory. And it's my prayer that you may be so dependent upon the Word of God, and you may look so clearly into the Word of God, not just because I'm teaching you from the Word of God, but because God can speak to you Himself from His own Word, that you may be so dependent upon the Word of God that you would never again go back simply to the teachings of men and follow them. And so I would pray for you that again you might find salvation and you might live according to the truth of God's Word. May the Lord help you, each one.